Doing that, go ahead and turn your Bibles, Book of Judges. Book of Judges for our thoughts this morning. Book of Judges. Judges chapter 11. If anybody's ever done a substantial study of the book of Judges, you'll find it can be at times a very depressing book. And what I mean by that is, children of Israel would get off into false worship. And God would chastise them. And they would repent. And then with a little time, you find them repeating the same cycle. Over, over, and over again. That should remind us that we're human. And that we also complete that same cycle, don't we, in life? Now, one positive thing about the book of Judges is that even though children of Israel got away from God and God had to chastise them and deliver them from enemies and imprison them, when they repented, God would forgive them. And I guess the positive thing is this. Even though we mess up, and by the way, you're going to from time to time, you're never going to be perfect this side of eternity, so stop trying, act like you are. We are sinners. And I don't care how many rungs you've climbed in holiness, you're still going to be a sinner. And we're still going to be a people in need of Jesus Christ as our Savior. But what I love about the book of Judges, even when the children of Israel messed up, and they messed up many times, the Lord never forsook them. And if you are a child of God, I don't care how bad you have messed up in life, God loves you and He's never going to forsake you. That art to bring peace to your hearts this morning. Now, chapter 11. I want to introduce you to a man that was a reject. We got any rejects in here today? I'm standing before a big reject. But by the grace of God, this man became a ruler, even though he was a reject. So what does that say about this man? That says God can take anybody and use anybody for His glory. So, is everybody in the book of Judges, chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now, Jephthah, boy, that's going to give me trouble today. If I say Jeph, you know who I'm talking about, right? Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? Why are you coming to me now when you are in distress? The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. And the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy word. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. Father, as I bow before you, I ask that you forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. Move anything that would hinder me being able to be used of you as a vessel of your glory, Lord. Lord, I just pray you'll give me the words to say. Lay on my heart the things I've studied and let me say those things, Lord. Laid in my mind to speak to your people this morning. May they be fed from your table. Let me preach with boldness and authority those truths. And may your Holy Spirit have his way in the hearts of those I stand before and even in my heart. I thank you that you love us, thankful for our salvation, the assurance of our salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray here today that if there's one here that doesn't know you, one here today that needs encouragement, one here that just needs to move as your Spirit moves amongst them, they would have liberty to do it. We ask it, holy and blessed name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice that Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. Now, one thing I want us to understand, being a mighty man of valor means, one, he was the kind of man that you would want to have your back. Amen. He was a man that did things right. When a problem arose, he handled it. So he was a man of war, a mighty man, and of valor. By the way, valor means what? Courage. That's right, sister. So he had these principles already in his life, but he was also the son of a harlot. What that means, and I don't have to tell you adults, is that his father frequented women of ill repute. And one got pregnant, and he was born. And notice that this man of valor, the family, when they grew up, and obviously the father finally died because now it's time to divide the inheritance, and those other brothers kicked him to the curb. Kicked him out. And you say, well, why would they do that? Well, think about it. One, that man has a stigma on him. Two, every time they see him, it reminds them of their father's infidelity. And three, let's get to where it really is. It's called greed. If he's gone, there's more money for me. So they kick him to the curb because of who he is. Now, when you look at his life, you'll find that there's good points and there's bad points. And all of us can say exactly the same thing. There's good points to all of us. There's good parts in all of us, especially if you know Jesus as your Savior. But there's also some bad points in our lives. Amen? And we don't tend to share all the good points because we don't want people to think we're blowing our own trumpet. And that's a good thing, because don't you just love braggarts? I don't. I'd be lying. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I have nothing to brag about but Jesus. When it comes to bragging on myself, I'm nothing. I'm just an old sinner saved by his marvelous grace. But listen, I'll tell you what we do though. We don't brag on ourselves, but our shortcomings, and guess what? We all have them. We like to kind of cover them up, hide them. Nobody can see. Sorry, God sees everything. And you can do all the hiding you want to. One day it's going to come out in the light. Think you get by with your secret sin? Nope. It will be sure to find you out. So here is a man whose mother was a harlot. Now the Bible says he was a mighty man. And he was a man of valor. He had ability and efficiency. And he could pretty much handle himself. But he had some half-brothers that didn't think too well of him. So they kicked him to the curb. Now, look at what the Bible says. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. There were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Now, Tob is on the eastern side of the Jordan River. It's in Syria. And he goes there. Doesn't know anybody. But he goes there. And there's these vain men. Now, that word vain means they were unemployed and they had no desire to do anything. In fact, they weren't doing anything. But isn't it amazing how they were attracted? They found something in Jephthah that they couldn't find anywhere else. And they wanted to be like him, be a part of him. It's kind of like the old adage, birds of a feather flock together. Amen? What do you mean by that? Well, simply this. We tend to hang out with people that are thinking like we do and have a heart like we do. You know, if they're into serving God, you want to hang out with people that serve God. And that's what these men did. They didn't really know anything about him, but he had a magnetism, something that drew them to him. And by the way, him being a mighty man and a man of valor, it brought them to him. And he taught them how to pretty much be a ragtag army, if you will. Kind of like, remember when David and the men that were with him when Saul was king and was chasing them? Remember David and them would fight for the Hebrews. They were like a ragtag police force. And they would defend the Hebrews against the enemies of them. Well, that's what they're doing here. But again, they didn't know nothing about him. He just drew them. It's the same way with people today. Our personalities draw us instantly to other people. And I guess what I'm trying to get across to you is you are to make sure you choose who you're going to hang out with wisely. Because I'm going to tell you, people can take you down. The friends you have, who are you hanging out with? Now, they chose to follow him. Let me go back just one second, because I don't want to leave this out. He was an outcast from his family, from his countrymen. In fact, he was asked to leave by his countrymen. But you know, Jesus was rejected also. He was considered an outcast. He was rejected by his own family. Listen, his own brothers, his half-brothers, didn't recognize him as the Messiah. In fact, they didn't believe he was who he said he was until after he died and he rose again. Before they recognized David, the son of Jesse. Remember when Samuel went to anoint a king, he was instructed by God to go to Jesse's house? Did they call David in so that Samuel could see? No! What I'm trying to get across to you, sometimes in society, we're going to be rejected by society, by our family, by our friends, because we live for Christ. You better get used to it. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back because you're a Christian. In fact, the way it's getting today, man, we're just a little better than an old dog with a mange. Amen? Just a little better. Because they can't stand our Savior. But that's okay because He stands us. Because He loves us. Now, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and they went out with him. And no, that doesn't mean he was dating these men. He wasn't that kind of man. Amen. Nowadays, you have to make sure. You got to make sure people understand. That's not what it's talking about. Hey, I'll go ahead and get in trouble. There's some idiots that have their own Bible that teach that Jonathan and David were homosexual. No! They were very dear friends. They were like brothers. But they weren't homosexual. And when it says they went out, that means that they followed Jephthah as he led them. Because he had the natural ability to lead. And by the way, let me just tell you, God knows who He's going to use as His leaders in His church and service, in His kingdom work. And what I love about the Lord is you'll find when you read the Word of God, you study it, everybody He ever used were undesirable. He likes to use those that are undesirable. That's why I'm able to stand before you today. I was undesirable. But He chose me. And I'm thankful for the privilege. Now, it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. You say, preacher, who's the children of Ammon? Well, they're descendants of Lot. Remember, Lot, he had an incestuous relationship with one of his daughters. And out of it, they became Ammon. And they were cousins to the Jews. But they were also devout enemies. So they made war against the children of Israel. And it says, and so when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders, Gilead, went to fetch Jephthah out of the land Tob. Isn't it amazing? Before, leave! Get away! Don't want nothing to do with you, you reject! But when the first hint of trouble comes, guess what? Instead of leaving, they say, come lead! Lead us! I've seen that so many times. Not good enough until problems arise. And then you're the first one they turn to. But listen, same thing happened to the Lord. You see, this is what we do. God, as long as things are going well, leave me alone. Don't you mess with me. Don't want nothing to do with you. Things are going good. I have no issues. I'm on the road of life, in the car of life. You just stay in the trunk. Leave me alone. And then guess what? Hit a hole in the road, blow a tire out. And then what do we expect? Car life, open up that trunk and God, you better be ready to deliver me. You better be that spare that's going to hold air. Isn't that a shame how we treat God? But it's true. As long as we're on the mountaintop, I'm fine. I don't need nobody. But Lord, if I do need you, you better be there. Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot better to walk in the will of God day by day, knowing you have that relationship with Him and knowing that when trouble does arrive, He's going to be there for you, than to try to live without Him till that trouble does come. And then when you call on Him, you might not get an answer back. He might decide, hey, you go ahead and go through that little trial yourself. I'd rather have Him always, anytime. I've been there. It ain't fun to try to live without the Lord. Not fun. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I can assure you, child of God, listen to me. You don't get nothing. Listen to this. You need God always. Not just in the good times, but especially the bad times. That's right, sister. So here's Jephthah. You know, they said, leave. Don't want nothing to do with you, old reject. Son of a harlot. I'm sure they called him even other names. But then here comes Ammonites. And they know that they aren't capable of defeating them. They've heard about this mighty man, this man of valor and his men. And taught them how to fight. So what did they do? Hey, let's go to him. This is where we go to the next verse. Verse 6. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Notice, be our captain. Be over us. Be our chief. Be our ruler. Or captain me. Now, notice what he says. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not you hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress? That's a pretty good question. Didn't want me then, but you want me now. Why? Look at what he says. The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. See, they were between a rock and a hard place. They knew without him, defeat, enslavement. But with him, victory. Now, again, you and I, if we're honest, had that been us, and a bunch of yahoos come to us that don't want nothing to do with us, but now they're in need and they need us, you and I might have the tendency to say, you're on your own. But a stump, leave me alone. I want nothing to do with you. But you see, Jephthah had a heart for God. He may have been exiled from the land, but he was never exiled from God. And he had a heart that knew the right thing is to know how to forgive. How many times have we been hurt by people we love? But I bet you if we made a list, we'd still be right. Because people are going to hurt you from time to time. It's a matter of fact. It'll happen. It'll happen with those you're closest to. Family. Church family. But listen to me for a second. It's not the fact of getting hurt. It's going to happen. We're human. We're going to fail one another. That's not the thing. The thing that means the most is how do we deal with those that hurt us? Better yet, how does God deal with us when He hurts us? hurt him. How does he deal with us? He forgives us. And he forgives us. And he forgives us. And beloved, that's what we're supposed to do, is forgive. You know how you can tell if you love God like you're supposed to? You know how you can tell? Because you'll be willing to forgive when those come against you and hurt you. That shows the heart you have. Here's this man that had every right to turn his back on children of Israel, Gileadites. But he didn't. Notice, Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, the Lord deliver them before me. Shall I be your head? Of course, he's trying to get this straight. Now, you're telling me, if I go back with you and I fight Ammon and we defeat them, you're going to make me your ruler, the head, the captain, the chief. I am going to be over your lives. And of course, they said yes. But notice what he said there. If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me. Did y'all catch that? And the Lord deliver them. You see what I love about Jephthah? He never took the credit. Because he knew victory in the Lord only comes from the Lord. It doesn't come on our effort, our talent. It comes through the Lord. And any victory you and I have in life, we didn't bring about it. The Lord did. I've won some great victories in my Christian walk. I've also lost some big battles in my Christian walk. And what that shows me is I'm not capable of nothing. But the victories that I have won, it wasn't due because I'm super spiritual. It wasn't due because I have lots of talent and I have lots of gifts. It's due because God gave me the victory. Because the battle is his. And I was smart enough to rely on him to fight that battle for me. And the sooner you and I learn that, the better off we're going to be. The battle's God's. So whatever you're facing this morning, I don't care how bad it seems and appears to you, you can trust God. Because God is going to give you grace. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you power. And if it's His will, He's going to give you the victory because He'll be the one that gets the victory. Now, elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, and if we do not so according to thy word. And then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head, just like they said, captain. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Mizpah means tower. Anybody ever come across that word before? Over in the book of Genesis. Remember Jacob? He had a daddy-in-law that he fought with all the time. His name was Laban. It was in Mizpah that they made a covenant between themselves and their people not to fight. In fact, it was at Mizpah that they asked God to come and oversee this covenant. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, they made this covenant not to kill one another, but they left as enemies. But they did honor that covenant. Thing was, one stayed on one side and the other stayed on the other, and they left one another alone. But my point is, Jephthah sought the Lord. And beloved, He may have been a reject. He may have come from illegitimate union because of his dad. I want you to understand something. He knew who God was. And he sought God. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. You and I may not be nothing in the eyes of other people, but we are something in the eyes of God. And we can come from a bad background. We can come from sin. By the way, let me just say this. I didn't bring this up, but I will now because the Lord laid it on my heart. Over in Exodus 34, it talks about the sins of the father being visited. Third and fourth generations. You ever read that? Now that doesn't mean this. A lot of people, that means I got to pay for my parents' sin. That's not what that means at all. Listen, if your parents sin, they're going to pay for their sins. If you sin, you're going to pay for your sins. But what it means is because of the actions of our parents, sometimes we'll bear fruit from those actions. Not that we're going to pay for their actions. Well, give me an example, preacher. I'll be glad. If you are raised in a home where, say, your mother is just negative. The world is just, she's always negative. That's all you ever hear. Negative, negative, negative. Chances are, later on in life, you're going to grow up and you're going to be negative. If your father was an alcoholic, chances are, you're going to grow up being in that home around an alcoholic. I'll be an alcoholic. That's what that means. If you grow up in an abusive home, chances are it's all you know because it's called generational. And you're going to be that same way. But listen to me, and you listen good. You don't have to stay that way. Amen? Listen, you can break that generational curse by surrendering and submitting to God and allowing His strength and power to dwell inside you. He can deliver you. You don't have to continue that cycle. Listen. That sin of alcohol visited my generation, my grandfather, my uncle, my father, and other loved ones. It was a generational curse. But by the grace of God, He delivered me, and that cycle has been broken. And I want you to understand this morning, listen to me, it's high time we as parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles break those curses from our children. How many of you believe that God can do that? Amen. I know He can because I'm a testimony to it. And probably so are you. Our families need that curse broken. We don't have to stay in that curse. He had every right to say, look at me, I'm never going to amount to nothing. I'm an outcast. They hate me. My own half-brothers hate me. And he could have chose to stay into that. But no, he sought God. And God made him something pretty special. He was a reject and he ended up being a ruler. Again, think about it. There's some lessons here that we can learn from Jeff. One is, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what your circumstances, but in God's eyes, you still have worth to Him. Amen? How do I know? Well, take a $20 bill. It doesn't matter if it's new, if it's torn, if it's worn. The value of a $20 bill is still $20. Same way with you and me. Doesn't matter where we come from, how bad we were, how flawed we were, we still have worth in the eyes of God. How do I know? Because He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. That's how I know. Believe it or not, as bad as the world is and everybody in it, they're all sinners undone in the eyes of God. God still loves them. God sent His Son to die for them. And God will save them if they call upon Him. Doesn't matter how bad. Why? Because there are people with worth to God. Two, God sometimes takes, a better word, allows tough things to happen in our lives. Because when we go through those tough times, things are hard and rough, and we don't understand, He can take those tough times and refine us and make us into people He needs us to be. How many of you believe in the sovereignty of God? I do. And what I mean by that is this. God sometimes allows things to happen in your life that you and I don't get. We don't see it. We don't understand it. It doesn't matter if we see it. It doesn't matter if we believe it. God still has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And His sovereign will is going to be done in all of us. But listen. After He molds us and makes us, redefines us into the people we're supposed to be, He gives us victory. What was it Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57? But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. God had a sovereign plan for Jephthah. Growing up, he probably had no clue. All he knew was he was an outcast. All he knew was his family didn't want him. His country, people didn't want him. But God had this plan. It wasn't by accident he became a mighty man and a man by valor. God groomed him. He's grooming me and you. And let me just say this. Some of you may think that, you know, I'm spinning my wheels. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I come to this church. I don't know why I go through all. I'll tell you why. Because God has a plan for you. Stay where He's planted you till He moves you. While you're here, learn all you can. Do what He leads you to do. And in time, He will move you into a work in the kingdom somewhere. I assure you. Stay where you're at. He just happened to run off. He went across the Jordan River into Syria. But God was still over there. I guess he should have read about Jonah. Because it doesn't matter where you run, God's always going to be right where you end up. He's always there. So again, God's sovereign. You've got a plan and a purpose for all of us. And again, doesn't matter how flawed we are. He loves us, and He's got a plan for us. Here was a man. I was a reject. I was a reject. You were a reject. You understand Jesus was a reject too. Came into His own, and His own received Him not. That didn't stop him from fulfilling the sovereign plan of the Father. And that was to go to a cross after living a perfect, sinless life and offer himself as the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. Died, was buried, and on the third day, he resurrected from the grave. That's a fact. Just like a lamb, that the blood of that lamb was sacrificed for Israel. Talking about the Passover lamb. For the church, it was also a lamb slain. And it was the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that was sacrificed for us. So if you think you're worthless, you think that God can't ever use me, read about this man. Because God had a plan. But this man had enough sense to know the battle and the victories wasn't because he was a great man of valor and a mighty man, but the battle and the victories were because of the Lord. Remember that the next time you're going through a trial. Give it to God and leave it with God. Get yourself out of the way and watch what God does. Amen? So if God has spoken to your heart, and I pray he has, I pray he's spoken to your heart, will you obey his voice, whatever he's leading you to do? And again, be mindful this morning. It's time we break generational curse of our family. Don't get me wrong. I love my family. I'm blessed. I wouldn't want to come from any other family. But I'm also smart enough to realize my family wasn't perfect by any stretch. In fact, some would call us dysfunctional. And we were. But let me say something about another family he put me into. It's the family of God. And you see, my brothers and my sisters love me, they stand by me, and they support me. It's like the old writer of the song, "I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God." I pinch myself. Now, I belong to two families. But the family I belong to, that spiritually speaking, oh, what a blessing. You see, I'm not an outcast to them. I'm a brother. They're my brothers and sisters. They depend on me, I depend on them. But we both depend on the Lord for everything. I can say that, you can say that if you know Jesus. If you don't know him, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I will invite you to come to the family. I assure you, you'll be accepted in the Lord's family. You'll not be cast away. You'll not be a reject. Who's to say? God could just be grooming you to be a leader one day in his family, his church. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be?